You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur Strategies for Success podcast. How are you doing, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs? I am ready to rock and roll today with Courtney Klein. Courtney is the co-founder and CEO of SeedSpot, a nonprofit incubator based in Phoenix that works to increase the odds of success for passionate social entrepreneurs who are committed to solving important societal issues. SeedSpot launched in 2012 with the dream of building a safe place where social entrepreneurs would go to find the right resources to bring their ideas to life. Courtney completed the Ironman triathlon while working on building her startup, and she has totally convinced me to start off at least with a half marathon. I could just picture her when she talks to us about training for her triathlon, when she said she would ride her bike, which was halfway in the fireplace, and her computer was up on the mantle while she was firing away emails. And at the time of this interview, Courtney was traveling, and instead of rescheduling, she went ahead and did the interview in a parking lot. I really admire her attitude of determination and being a striver. It totally motivates me and, you know, amplifies the notion of I can do anything. And I really feel that. I think the more positive you are, the more positive your actions become. It's the law of attraction. Allow yourself to think positive thoughts and you will attract positive action. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, it is very important to have the right mindset. And the law of attraction is definitely a start. I would say get the book. It's by Esther Hicks. And it'll open up the possibilities for you. Well, today we talk about social entrepreneurship and how there's a generational shift. Millennials want to be part of a socially conscious community. And today it's not only the millennials leading social entrepreneurship, although they are leading the pack, but I think more and more people are becoming believers of the fact that ideas can change the world. They want to be part of something meaningful, and social entrepreneurship is a powerful change for the world. Also, an important takeaway that Courtney talks about, which is super important, is believing in yourself. Be intentional about who you are and don't let anybody veer you away from your path. My bold and fearless entrepreneurs, keep at it, and success is right around the corner. I do want to let you know that the interview ends abruptly. Courtney's phone ran out of battery and we did manage to get all of our questions answered. So that was great. Also, there are a couple of places in their interview where there are long pauses, technical difficulties. I'm confident, though, that you will be able to draw a lot of value from this conversation despite the minor pauses. So let's get right into it with Courtney Klein, and I hope you all enjoy it. Hi, Courtney. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to have you on today. I have so much to talk to you about. First of all, you are out and about, and we're just doing this in a parking lot today, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes. I left a noisy coffee shop, and I'm just outside, so hopefully the audio quality will be good. But yes, traveling for business this week.
That's awesome. But the audio quality is great, so you don't have to worry about that at all. And I love it because that's one of the qualities of an entrepreneur is to just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to do it right away.
Absolutely.
So you're doing it. Awesome. You know, before I go into SeedSpot and all the amazing things you're doing, I want to know about your Ironman triathlon.
Yes.
What is? How did you do it? How long did it take for you to train?
I had a goal of doing a full Ironman before I turned 30, and so I just started training. And you know, amidst a crazy entrepreneurial schedule, you kind of fit things in. And I remember being up at 4 o'clock in the morning for early swims, and would take a run at lunch if I had a lunch, and would wrap up meetings in the evening, and I'd sit on my bike trainer at home, and I had my front wheel literally in my fireplace, and I had my laptop up on the mantle, and I would just crank on emails, and I would cycle for 3 to 4 hours every night. So yeah, the training was intense. I trained for about 9 months, and then I raced about a year, actually 2 years ago now, and yeah, it was an incredible experience.
That's crazy. I mean, it's not like the life of an entrepreneur is any easy, because you're doing things and you're putting fires out and stuff. And doing this is, I mean, you're a driven person. That's
driven
awesome.
Or crazy. I'm not sure which. But,
hey.
Honestly, it balanced out, and I think it was a great outlet for me because, you know, the ability to focus, even, you're swimming for, 2 miles training, and you got a lot of time underwater to clear your mind and think through strategy, or how am I going to handle that next board meeting? I mean, it was a little bit therapeutic at times.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing to me, because I'm, it's so hard for me to just get out and do stuff. And I mean, you're an inspiration now.
You're sweet.
I'm like, wait, let me do at least like a half marathon first.
I'm convinced that if I can do it, anyone can. I started out not even being able to really swim more than, a few laps. And here I finished 2.4 miles of a swim. So anyone can do it. Just set your mind to it and train. You'll be fine.
I love it. I love that. And I think, like you said, crazy, a little bit of crazy and a little bit of drivenness is important for an entrepreneur.
That's very true.
Awesome. SeedSpot is all about social entrepreneurship. I want to talk a little bit about what social entrepreneurship means to you.
Yes. So I've always believed in the power of ideas to change the world. And I think witnessing entrepreneurs that, if you're going to grind it out and you're going to put in the time and you're going to take on the risk and the liabilities and all of the things that entrepreneurs do to get something off the ground, why not do it for something that changes the world? And so for me, I love working with and being among a group of incredible social entrepreneurs across the country that, we're looking at problems differently. We're looking at issues that may have traditionally been solved by, charity organizations or government, or really not solved at all. And applying the basics of, how do we scale and operate a technology or a service or a product? How do we implement those things to actually create change in lives? And so I think it's a unique breed of an entrepreneur because social entrepreneurs, I think, look at challenges in society and start to identify opportunities to build a company and a solution around it.
I agree. And do you think that more and more the millennials are kind of leading the pack in social entrepreneurship?
Statistically, there's been a lot of research done about the millennials, and we follow one study in particular that said repeatedly that 90% of millennials want to work for or be part of a socially conscious company. And I think with the awareness that's been raised through social media and citizen media and a lot of other things, we're much more cognizant of the world around us. And so there is a generational shift. I've certainly witnessed it and in some respects been part of it myself, that we're not driven by the 9-to-5. We're not incentivized by the 401k. We want to create meaning. And even this generation's been, kind of tagged with being an entitled generation, or in some respects it's a really good thing, because use that sense of entitlement to build something meaningful. And so yes, I think statistically trends are demonstrating as such, and even from a consumer standpoint, I think consumers are much more cognizant of the quality of the products that they're buying, the companies that they're supporting, the values of that company. And we've seen the legislation change with the benefit corporation movement. We've seen this whole resurgence of impact investors that are now looking at spending dollars and investing in companies that, yes, create a financial return, but also do good in the world. So I think it's a trend that's not going away.
I agree. And what do you think, in your own organization, see a lot of millennials that work for you?
Yeah, we've got an incredible team, and yes, most of us have at least that mentality, if not by definition are a millennial ourselves. But, mm-hmm. but I don't necessarily think that it's just an age thing. I mean, we have so many mentors, advisors, you know, experts that come in and out of SeedSpot to support our entrepreneurs, and even the entrepreneurs themselves that we work with from the age of 16 to 82. You know, we've seen entrepreneurs, the whole spectrum, that have that millennial mentality and want to create change in the world. So I'm not so much sold on the fact that it's just, you know, a millennial trend. I think it's, sure. it's a trend that's impacting a lot of people.
Sure. And what do you think drives them? The, you know, especially the entrepreneurs that come to you and they're looking to make a change in whatever little way they can, mm-hmm. you know, what is it that drives them? I know there are, you know, it's passion is super important, but there's always something that's beyond passion. Mm-hmm. What is it that drives these people?
Yeah, I think a bit of it's a stubbornness, and oftentimes I use the analogy, and it's not the best analogy, but it's the only one I've come up with so far, in that it's like, you know, having a raspberry seed kind of lodged in your back molar, and the non-entrepreneurs, it's easy just to put in a piece of gum, right, and just pop the raspberry right. seed out, but for the entrepreneurs, you're so stubborn, and you're so kind of, you have a stick-to-itiveness attitude that you have to get it out yourself. And so when you think conceptually about that raspberry seed being a problem that you see in the world or an idea that you want to manifest, you can't just ignore it. And I think social entrepreneurs, that raspberry seed just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that notion of needing to do something and having to do something drives entrepreneurs in the social sector, because they can't ignore the problem. And they see the opportunity to say, you know what, if I don't do it, who will? If I don't solve that problem, it's going to plague me and the world forever. So I have to change it.
I love that analogy, by the way. I never thought of it that way. Now it's going to stick in my mind forever because I just have that picture now. I love it. Awesome. So let's talk about SeedSpot. What made you start this amazing venture?
You know, it was a combination of things. So I was an entrepreneur coming out of college and started another organization and ran that organization for 7 years. It's called New Global Citizens. And with that, you know, we had an incredible run-up. We had amazing growth and impact and training high school youth about global issues and empowering them to create change in the world. And I was young. I mean, I was 21 to 28 years old, green, you know, didn't know how to do 1,000 things, but I was really well supported by a network and a community and mentors and advisors that helped. And so when I transitioned out of the organization, I joined the board of directors and I started to think about what my next big project would be. And I wasn't quite sure at the time that I was going to start something else. I didn't necessarily see myself as this perpetual entrepreneur, but I did know that there was a deficit in the world in how social entrepreneurs found the support that they needed, where was the community they could go to, where were the investors lining up to support them. And so I really wanted to build a community, which SeedSpot has certainly become in Phoenix, around social entrepreneurs, providing them with the education, the training, the mentorship, the advisement, the capital resources, the connections that they need to bring their ideas to life. And so SeedSpot, you know, kind of amply named after this notion of the seed that these social entrepreneurs have inside of them, where is the place that you go to bring that idea to life? And we've been very fortunate to work with, you know, almost over 200 now, we'll hit this year, entrepreneurs that have used SeedSpot as that home base to launch their dreams.
That's fantastic. And you have a co-founder.
So I did at the time, yes. Two of us started the organization, and then he transitioned out after a year. So I've been running with an incredible team ever since.
Wonderful. That's awesome. And did you all start as a Kickstarter project?
You know what? We didn't. We actually went out for corporate funding. So the model was to get a network of corporations throughout the community to invest a minimum of $5,000 to seed the idea. And it was an easy ask because many, you know, many corporations, $5,000 wasn't going to break the bank. But with that came the expertise and advisement. So we had banks and law firms and accounting agencies and web design firms come forward and say, yeah, you know, we'll seed this idea with $5,000. It's a philanthropic contribution. SeedSpot's a nonprofit. And with that, we want to send, you know, our talented folks over to help these entrepreneurs. And so to this day, we really make it almost a requirement amongst our funders that it's not just a check, that it comes with the talent and expertise so we can build a community around these entrepreneurs.
I love that idea. But, and you know, one thing I noticed, Courtney, you are continuously raising funds. Either it's for SeedSpot or it's for the, you know, the different ventures. So you're a pro at it then.
I wouldn't say a pro, but certainly grind it out every day. And really, I think it's less about the transaction for me. I mean, lots of, you know, professional fundraisers and folks that do this for a living, it's that transaction, you know, that keeps the doors open. And you certainly need that money, but it's a relationship for me. And so it's come fairly naturally. I really love hearing people's stories and what they're interested in. And if there's a fit at SeedSpot, fantastic. And, you know, they write a check and they get behind us. And if there's not, then it's another incredible person in the world that's trying to do good with their wealth or with their connections. And so, I take just a very humanistic, I think, approach to understanding what do people want to do? And I think that's different than, you know, just going out and asking for checks continuously, because everyone has an intention with their gift and with their dollars. And so if there's alignment, then it's a pretty easy ask to make.
Very nice. You know, outside of relationship and building the relationship, what do you think really ticks when it comes to asking for money?
You know, I think first and foremost, it's a belief in yourself and your dream. I've seen lots of entrepreneurs that are kind of, you know, sheepish or shy or I don't know how to ask for money. And it's like, how much do you want to see this idea come to life? And if that answers significant enough, then you have an obligation to get over your fear or the anxiety of asking someone for a check. And I think for me, at least, it's been like, join me in making this possible. And if you believe what I believe and you want to see this in the world, then, you know, we've got to work together and, you know, dollars follow. And so, yeah, I say to any entrepreneur that may be struggling to raise the capital, you just first have to believe in the dream yourself and paint the picture of what that donor or what that investor is going to be able to be a part of. And who doesn't want to be part of something that, you know, changes the world and improves lives? I think if you get in that mentality, it's a much easier thing to overcome.
Definitely. And since you've started SeedSpot, what has been your biggest accomplishment that you see in terms of the ventures that you guys have backed?
Oh gosh, there's been so many. So it's the individual stories at the end of the day, right? I mean, we track metrics and, you know, capital raised and jobs created and how many companies are still in business, and we're trending in incredible ways from a metric standpoint. But for me and the team, it's really about these human stories. And our first year, we worked with an entrepreneur, 27 years old, high-functioning autistic adult who had a dream of opening a bakery to employ other high-functioning autistic adults. And Matt Cottle is now the founder and CEO of Stuttering King Bakery. And not only does he make ridiculously tasty, you know, scones and muffins, but he's got a double oven now, and he's building up the capacity and serving more clients and corporate partners. And, you know, we'll hire staff. And it's like Matt's living his dream. We worked with a woman recently, 82 years old, Jean Dees, who came to us with a product, essentially in the sustainability space, but a cover for a drain that would keep, you know, toxic chemicals from going down the drain, and you could dispose of things instead of using a toxic, remedy. And so she was selling in a few local hardware stores and came into our program, and her husband had just passed, and he'd been running a lot of the marketing, communications and stuff and sales for her. And she came in and said, you know, I don't know what to do with this. And being able to support someone like Jean to see, you know, how she could scale this and get more contracts in place and place the product in more hardware stores and more venues, that to me, and just, you know, how that changed her life and the way that her family and her daughters looked at her and taking this on. And, you know, day three into the program, it's like Jean's like, you know, I think I have a new customer segment. You know, I think my marketing channel may be different. It's like,
wow.
Jean, like, you know, you're 82 years old. Like, this is absolutely incredible. And so it's run the whole spectrum. And certainly we've had many companies that have raised, you know, exponential amounts of capital and are staffing up very rapidly. And, you know, the typical stories of entrepreneur makes it big. And we're seeing those, you know, start. And we work. Take, you know, 2 to 3 years to see those, you know, real metrics come to life. But the journey of the human along the way and the wins for them and, you know, the person that called them back on the phone and the investor that took the meeting and the first check that they, I mean, that's what we live for at SeedSpot.
I love it. And that just gives me goosebumps because I'm, you know, and I think, like you said, that's part of your whole story of getting the community involved in building a better society even.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's the dream.
Yes. And hey, you're doing it. So that's amazing.
Thank you.
Awesome. So tell me, when it comes to your ventures, how far do you guys take them? How mm-hmm. far are you helping them out? Especially somebody who's very new in entrepreneurship, they just have this idea. How far along do you take them and then say, hey, okay, now you're good to go and, you know, take it from here? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we run a series of programs. So we have everything from kind of a two-day weekend workshop to a five-day, 40-hour boot camp to a 12-week Monday evening program that we run, which is just a consistent flow of education information, all the way to our robust program is our full-time program, and that's entrepreneurs that are really, you know, 30, 40, 70 hours a week on their venture. We provide them office space and, you know, 250 hours of education and training and access to investors and all of that. So I would say that we catch entrepreneurs at every stage of their life cycle, where we do not really, you know, carve out a niche or claim to be experts is, you know, as these companies, if you've raised capital, if you're generating over $500,000 a year in annual revenue, you're probably beyond the support that we can provide. And so our goal is to get all of our entrepreneurs to understand, you know, does this idea that you're kind of chewing on, is there really, you know, a market for it? We understand, you know, we walk them through the process of identifying the customer and building a budget and defining your marketing strategy and what are the channels that you'll go through and, you know, what's the cost structure and what investment do you need and all the basic building blocks. And in the 2-day and 5-day, you know, training programs that we run, it's really about helping them understand, do you have something that's viable? And let's either help you discover what that is, change course for what you thought it was to what it really could be, or say, you know what, there isn't something here, and we're glad we found out in 5 days versus 5 years. So, yes, at all stages of the company's life cycle, I'd say up until, you know, the point that they're really operational and running strong, that's typically where we, you know, pass them off to either other accelerator groups or other investment firms or something like that. We do a lot of cross-referral.
Nice. You work with a wide variety of entrepreneurs. And what do you think are maybe the key skills that an entrepreneur should either have innately or be able to develop?
That's a great question. So one is just a really high tolerance for risk. You've got to be willing to take the risk. This is not a place where fear survives. Failure is fully embraced. So I think the second piece is just being okay with trying and failing. You know, I've certainly failed and SeedSpot certainly failed at different iterations of our life cycle, but you just throw something out there and see what sticks. And so I think an aptitude and a general acceptance of failure is really critical. The ability, and it's cliche a bit, but to network, to connect with people, to build relationships. And I don't mean like attending networking events and being comfortable handing your business card, but really building relationships. So follow through for entrepreneurs. I mean, it's a 24-hour thing. You've got to be mm-hmm. on top of following up and sending people. And yeah, that might mean you had a 5 o'clock meeting and, you know, you get something to them by 7 p.m. Like it just, mm-hmm. it's a churn, and a pace that you just have to be comfortable with. And I think you know, if you're looking for a 9-to-5 and comfort and like entrepreneurship and startup mode is not for you. I mean, the hours are intense. Not by definition, but just by function. It just takes time. And then I would say the ability to kind of be a magnet and attract people toward you and the idea. And some of that comes naturally. Some of that is, you know, you can train a bit of that. Mm-hmm. How do you speak about, how do you pitch? How do you get to the point very succinctly so that people feel they have an opportunity to engage? And I would say the final thing is just being really open to feedback. We've seen a lot of entrepreneurs fall flat on their face because they just couldn't hear that they were wrong, that they were on the wrong path, that they were thinking about their business model the wrong way. You've got to be open to feedback because investors and supporters, they want to work with people that are good listeners and that will take feedback graciously.
Interesting. And, you know, I want to dig into a couple of things there really quick. Let's talk a little bit about failure. I think that's one thing that a lot of entrepreneurs going into entrepreneurship don't realize, that they really need to have some thick skin, mm-hmm. you know. We all have failures.
Sure.
You know, give us an example of maybe a failure that you've had, and then tell us how you overcame it.
Yeah, so I think there's just a certain perspective that, you know, to be healthy as an entrepreneur and to maintain sanity as an entrepreneur, there are constantly, and we're talking, I mean, day to day, big wins, big losses. It is a roller coaster, especially the first 3 years. And so for me, yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, funding opportunities declined. We've had entrepreneurs that we really kind of bet the farm on that didn't make it. We've had, you know, you deal with just a smattering of stuff, but it's this constant ability to believe that it's okay. You know what, either, and whether it's the philosophy of like, it wasn't meant to be, or there's something better around the corner, or whatever your mantra becomes. But I always visualize, you know, they say like when a door closes, you know, another one opens. And I'm a firm believer in like, you're going to have doors close all the time, but in a house, there's more windows than there are doors. So start looking for the windows. Look for the creative ways that you can still get to the end and get inside, proverbially, you know, that house. Find another way. And so for me, any time that the door closes, it's like, ooh, okay, creative time. Yeah. Like, how do we get around this? And it kind of becomes a game, at least it has been for me, because, you know, it's happened so many times, you kind of become acclimated to it.
Right.
But I think the risk early on, for at least first-time entrepreneurs especially, is that the door closes, and they're like, well, game over, it's done. It's like, no. So the ability and the desire, I suppose, to find the window or multiple windows is the best path.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, and I've seen, it's a pattern, right? So you have a failure, and then I generally take a day or two to kind of wallow in my, you know, in whatever is going on, be like, oh my God. And then I'm like, damn it, I need to get up and do something. I need to like figure this out. Okay, what's next?
Right.
Let's find that next thing. So I think it's, you know, it's important for any entrepreneur to understand, no matter where they are, you know, they could be having an online store or, you know, whatever it is. So important to realize that, you know, every day if you put in the work and you get up and you motivate yourself, it does come around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things do happen.
Absolutely.
So, Courtney, what is your success factor? What makes you successful?
Oh, goodness. Other people, to be honest. I'm really, really fortunate to work with a great team, great group of mentors that surround me. I've got just a good community. No one does it alone. So, yeah, I think the X factor, if there was one, was is other people. And I could list 1,000 of them that have helped make this dream come to life. But, yeah, it's been a collective effort of many, many, many big thinkers, big dreamers, and long hours, hard conversations, you know, critical decisions that we've made along the way to really stay true to our values and our belief. And I think having that line of sight, if I've done anything that I would claim credit for, I suppose, is just being very intentional about who we are and who we're not, and not letting anyone or anything derail us from that path, despite how hard those decisions may be to make.
Very nice. And I think that kind of, it ties into the whole relationship even for funding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's innately in you. That's awesome. Great. So tell me, you know, you built a brand, right? So everybody knows SeedSpot. What was your biggest hurdle in building a brand?
That's a great question. You know, I think we're still, to be honest, we still struggle a bit with what is our story. And the challenge for us is that we've been lumped into this group of incubators and accelerators. And so the expectation is that we define our outcomes based on jobs created and capital raised and revenue growth. And yes, we track those things. But if you were to ask me, like, what defines SeedSpot success, it has nothing to do with those metrics. It has everything to do with the human stories along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying now, and over the summer and into the fall, you'll start to see more stuff come out from us that
Courtney?
So that's where we're headed. Sorry about that.
Okay, no, that's okay.
I think I hit the pause button accidentally.
Oh, no problem. I wanted to make sure you're here. Okay, great. Awesome. So we're almost going to wrap it up, but I do want to ask you, what is your one piece of advice for entrepreneurs?
Dream big. It's a mantra that we live by. You know, for us, even we're taking on some new projects. We're in dialogue with several cities that we dream about expanding SeedSpot to other communities. We have dreamed about launching a high school program that's now off the ground. We're starting to teach an actual course curriculum, training teachers on high school campuses to teach social entrepreneurship actually as a core component to what students learn in their high school experience. And we're in the process of building an impact fund that will actually be able to invest in these social entrepreneurs. So for us, we try to live that mantra every day, and every piece of advice we give to those that we work with and those that cross our path is just dream big, think big, go for it. Now is the time, and yeah, don't look back.
Wonderful. I say be bold and be fearless.
Yes.
You know, you've got to do it.
Go for
it. You've got to get out there and do it. Yes. Awesome. So are you ready for a lightning round?
Yes.
This is where we get to know you more intimately.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
All right. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
Oh, gosh. I would have said Iron Man, but I guess I have that one.
You do.
You know, I would put one... champion for dreamers or something like that, some new award.
Nice. Awesome. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, I'm there's a coffee shop that I love in Phoenix. So vegan chai latte, coconut milk to die for.
Ooh, is it? Mm-hmm. I haven't tried that coconut.
Yeah, it's good.
Nice. Great. I guess when you're going back, that's what you're getting.
Yes.
Yes.
First stop whenever I land in Phoenix.
That's right. What are you currently reading?
You know what? I'm actually I'm reading a fair amount of social impact investment stuff right now as we're building this fund. So I can't say it's the most compelling literature, but I'm learning a lot about the trends of impact investing in the world.
Great. And what is your one productivity hack?
One productivity hack. Man, I'm just a master to-do lister, and I'm obsessed. Huh? I have a multitude of sticky notes that lay over top of each other. So it's like, by 10 a.m. do this, by noon do this, today finish this. And so I just bust through them because I can't handle a stack of sticky notes sitting in front of me.
Right. Awesome. Hey, whatever works.
That's right.
Right? What is your personal motto?
Personal motto, it's dream big. Yeah. As cliche as that may sound, for me, yeah, that's it.
I love that. Mine is, if you can dream it, you can do it. So I guess we're on the same line.
We're on the same trajectory there.
Great. What would you do different if you were given another chance?
Oh, gosh. That's a really good question. I think I probably would have come out the gate even more bullish than I was. And some people would be like, could you have been more bullish about this? but yeah, I think I would have pushed harder, faster. And it's just in my general nature. You look back and say, God, we should have been expanding, you know, 2 years ago, and we should have been long.
So that's where Courtney's phone died on us. And I told her that I would close it up for her. So hopefully you guys enjoyed our conversation today. Courtney can be found at www.seedspot.org. And her Twitter handle is CourtKleinAZ, like Arizona, or at Seedspot. You can find the show notes for the episode at womanpreneursuccess.com/episode. All you'll find it right on the front page. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review if you enjoyed the show. And if you know someone who'll make a great fit for the show, email me at smita@womanpreneursuccess.com. And if you love our show, please share it with your friends. Don't forget to link up with me on Twitter. I'm on at the Smita Singh, SMITASINGH. So at THE, the Smita, SMITASING, SINGH. And on Instagram, on Womanpreneur Success. So have a great day, and I will be back in your earbuds real soon.
This concludes another episode of Womanpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womanpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.